Coming to you from the heart of Silicon Valley, this is CUDA Confidential, the official podcast of the San Jose Barracuda, AHL affiliate of the San Jose Sharks. Now, here's your host, Nick Nolenberger.
Hey, Barracuda fans, welcome to another edition of CUDA Confidential. I'm Nick Nolenberger. During a recent Barracuda Select a Seat event, I had a chance to sit down with Barracuda General Manager Joe Will to talk all things Team Teal, including the upcoming season. Without further ado, here's that conversation.
Hello, everybody. I think I saw every one of you guys do the tour. Hopefully, you guys enjoyed that. But thank you first and foremost for the time. I mean, it's mid-July, well, not mid, it's at the end of July at this point, so the summer's going quick, but I think Joe can attest, but this has been a pretty exciting summer for the entire organization, starting with the winning of the lottery, and since that point, there's been a pretty palpable buzz, and you guys have shown it when it came to development camp and our prospect scrimmage and just the overall feeling and vibe amongst our fan base. So I know I'm excited. I know that Joe's excited as well. As you guys are probably very familiar with Joe Will, General Manager of the San Jose Barracuda, Assistant General Manager of the San Jose Sharks. Joe, let's start this thing off with, has the dust settled a little bit after what was probably a whirlwind of a month and a half?
Yeah, it was an exciting month and a half. And, you know, as you said, winning the lottery and all the new exciting changes, players coming into the Sharks organization, that just means so much for the Barracuda as well. And I think for all the pain that we've went through the past few years, you're going to start to see the rewards of some very good prospects and players coming in here through the draft, through some free agency to the Sharks, free agency to the Barracuda, and you know, we're at a good point to start the season.
We've heard how incredible this sphere was. To pick first overall and be part of that experience was extra special, but just how incredible that facility was. Were you pretty blown away to experience an NHL draft at a facility like that?
Oh, it was unique. It was, if you haven't been to the Sphere in Vegas, it's a unique place. It's almost, I've never had motion sickness at a draft before, but it was, it's imagine having a draft in an IMAX theater that goes all the way. I was looking up at the draft board and I actually had to go like this a couple of times, but it was a great experience. Great to see Jumbo getting up there, and he's already built a relationship, he and Patrick Marleau, with Macklin Salbrini and Will Smith and the young players. So that's another cool thing going on here, is our alumni really interacting with the young prospects coming in and welcoming them to the Bay Area, to the Sharks organization, and actually kind of showing them the ropes. You know, it was you know, Jumbo's team and Patrick's team and a lot of the alumni's team for so long, and they're so proud to be Sharks, and they just want to pass it on to these guys, not just to come in and say, hey, just throw them out there. And no, it's not that. They want to tell them what it means to be a Shark, what it means to play in front of this group, these fans in the Bay Area. And so that's a really special thing going on right now.
Well, you mentioned motion sickness. It feels like the only way to top the Vegas Sphere was maybe have the draft on a cruise ship or something next year, and they've got to go even bigger. Development camp was a fun few days because you had the draft and then you were thrust right into it, and you see these guys in the flesh, Macklin, Sam, and the rest of your draft class, plus draft classes from the last couple of years. As you were able to reflect on development camp and that four-day span plus the prospect scrimmage, what were your biggest takeaways?
I think the competition has really improved. You know, players are coming in and they feel it. And we've always said that the, you know, competition's the ultimate motivator. I think they feel all the talent coming in here and saying, oh, you know what, I better work harder. I better compete a little bit harder for these positions. And that's really, I think, the feel of development camp. You know, at the same time is an optimism that, you know, it's gonna take a while for this to build, but we're gonna start to see progress because of the talent level, because of the competition.
You mentioned Joe Thornton and just the legendary players that were part of this organization and now rolling into post-career. How important is it in your mind to bridge the past and the present? We talked about it quite a bit with the locker room tour because there's such a great history of the franchise amongst the walls, and to be able to connect and bridge the present and the past. How important is that in your mind?
It's huge. It goes back to every great franchise, you know, has a tradition, has they set their legacy, they set their standards, and our standards are high here. And you know, for all those teams that went through and there were perennial playoff teams and you know, going high in the playoffs each year, and those were the expectations. And we need to get back to that. We expect to get back to that. And the people that are going to set those standards are the people that lived it and set, you know, with Jumbo and Patrick and a lot of the other alumni that live in the area. We have a pretty good alumni group in the area, and they've set standards quite high. And that's so important to come in, that it's not arbitrary. These are high standards.
It has to be one of the busiest off seasons you can remember in your time with the Sharks since the inaugural season and even before that point. I mean, it was postseason hockey, Stanley Cup final, the draft, development camp, free agency, all spun into about a two-week span. Really incredible. As a staff, what was your guys' mission going into this offseason? You knew you were going to pick high, didn't know first overall. You knew you were going to get pick high and draft some quality young players. But beyond that, free agency, you guys were pretty active as well. So what was kind of the mission and goal going into this summer?
I think the, you know, looking at it, as we all know and we've seen, that the way to build a champion is really through the draft first, and then use the other methods around there. And with free agency, you know, you've seen that you can't really just go out and just buy players and bring them in. But what you can do is you can bring in talent that plays well with Celbrini, Smith, other players that we have. So you bring, you know, Toffoli, Wenberg, and others in. So it's really to bring in some talent to play with them, but more importantly, to bring in some people that have won before, people that have standards, good character people that can start to, you know, just set these standards to get us back to being a playoff team. And then also it's really to help the Barracuda. And I think, you know, now is the time we've made the organization more competitive, deeper and everything else. It's time for the Barracuda to make this jump. And so, you know, we went out at Barracuda level and really provided some high-end AHL players that can also be depth players for the Sharks with Andrew Podorolski, who we believe is one of the top, if not the top centerman in the league, was playoff MVP a few years ago, won a couple of Calder Cups, so knows how to win in the American Hockey League. Lucas Carlson, who's also a top free agent, top all-star defenseman in the American Hockey League. Jimmy Schultz, who's a top defensive defenseman in the American Hockey League. So we just felt to help the Barracuda, at the same time that helps the Sharks by getting prospects ready, but also provides depth.
You mentioned Andrew Podorolski, and we'll kind of dive into those three big names that you added because they're on two-way contracts. So technically, they could be with the Sharks, certainly could help them, but likely will be with the Barracuda. Is that veteran presence really productive? And all three have had great careers, certainly at the AHL level. Schultz and Podorolski have been in Coachella Valley for the last 2 years, so they've been in the finals, have went long ways. But Podorolski in particular, he's been to the Calder Cup final in four consecutive years when they've held it. Of course, COVID was mixed in that between. But he's won two championships, and he played under Ryan Warsawski in Chicago. So there was a connection there. How big was that connection in getting Podorolski to San Jose, the fact that he played under Warzo and had that much success?
Yeah, right away, as Wars said to me, he goes, I'm really connected to a lot of minor league players, a lot of players in the American League. I know a lot of players. He goes, how can I help? And that really helped with players like Podorolski, you know, and with recruiting him, he said, you know, I won championships with Ryan. I want to play for him. I believe in what you're doing. So it was, you know, a lot easier to get him with Ryan on board, that's for sure. And he helped with just the vetting process on going through and knowing some players along with our scouts and everyone else. So it helped, and he's so familiar. That's another benefit of having Warse as our head coach with the Sharks, is that he's so familiar with the American Hockey League and takes a lot of pride and knows what it means for winning at the NHL level, that he's going to invest a lot.
Peel back the curtain for us on the sales pitch for a player like that, like a Podorolski or a Carlson, who are, I would say, quote-unquote fringe guys who have played in the NHL, have spent most of their career in the AHL. What is the sales pitch to them when you're combining, look, this is a great place to live, you're going to get a chance to maybe play some NHL games, if not a lot of NHL games, but when you're in the AHL, it's a first-class environment, first-class facilities. Talk about just that sales pitch to those type of players.
I think if the, you know, if they come into it and the lights off, they don't really want to be an NHL player, then I'm not so sure we're interested. You know, we want guys that still kind of have a dream, but they're also realistic. And so in talking with them, they still have enough pride in their play and belief in themselves that they, you know, they want to keep striving to make the NHL because they're going to set a proper tone in the locker room. At the same time is, if they don't, that they're a good citizen when they come to the Barracuda, they say, well, then, you know what, when I'm there, I'm just going to keep playing hard to try and be recalled. But at the same time, you know what, I'm going to try and help some of these other players as well. And we try and strive to get players like that. And that's a big part of the discussion with them. And sometimes it's hard to find. You know, we don't want to get players that just, you know, are chasing down a particular contract or that the lights really went out for the NHL. So it's we think with the players that we've got, they all have those attributes.
Every offseason, you're looking to provide quality players to bolster your AHL, NHL club. You're also looking for depth. And this upcoming training camp, I think the overall thought is that it will be even more competitive, much more competitive than last year. You'll have guys like Celebrini. Will Smith was not in camp last year as a college player. You'll get guys like Toffoli and Wenberg in the mix amongst the other names that we've mentioned. Do you expect training camp to have a different look and feel than even what we saw last year?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's a ton of jobs open. It's not like you're coming off of a third round playoff exit and there's a couple of positions that you know are up for question. We're trying to get better as an organization, so there are a lot of positions, you know, that are open on the Sharks and with the Barracuda. Should be great competition for them. I think everybody knows that. There's you know, we don't really have a lot of placeholders in there. It's we're going to throw a good crop of players out there and see what happens. And within that, some players will come in and surprise us in a good way, and some players will, you know, come in and who we expected maybe to be at a certain level, and maybe they were a little bit lower. That's the beauty of this every year is you know, I've been doing this for a lot of years, and every year the player that I put up in a spot here just on my own, you know, notepad, he's not there because it's, you know, it's a human business and somebody surprises every year.
Well, one of the big moves that Mike Greer made during his tenure with the Sharks was the trade of Timo Meier, obviously a fan favorite, but you brought in a lot of assets in return. We saw how well Zetterlund played last year. And Shakir Mukhamudulin, when you look at a prospect standpoint, one of your top prospects, obviously you wanted him to mature in the AHL, physically get a little bit bigger. What do you think of his evolution that you've seen since you've had him in the organization? And do you expect for Mook this year going into camp to push for an NHL job?
I absolutely do. I mean, we all saw him at the All-Star game. We saw him throughout the year. That's the beauty of being here at the, you know, watching Barracuda games is you can see when that light goes on. And I think that light has went on for Shakir. So I think with Shakir, he's going to go in. I think the other players, you know, have seen it. He's put in his time. He's matured. So I really do expect him to have a great camp in coming in. And again, going back to it, sometimes it just takes time here. It's the Barracuda is great for mileage on the odometer for players like Shakir.
Well, speaking of individual players, Ethan Cardwell opened up a lot of eyes last year at 23 goals, the most goals by a rookie in franchise history. He was near the top of your scoring leaders, was just productive really all season long. And I think in many respects, you knew you had a good player in your hands, but maybe advanced and able to adjust to the pro level quicker than some expected. As he goes into his second full year, maybe doesn't make the Sharks out of camp necessarily, but is on the fringe to push for opportunities. What would be the message to a guy like Ethan Cardwell coming off a successful year, trying to stay focused and stay hungry, but also continue to push for an opportunity? What would be the message to a guy like that?
It's really to say, don't don't double down on your points in the American League. It's not about just trying to be on the scorecard every night, but it's you have to have all these attributes to where you can go up the NHL and actually survive in a game, that you can defend the best players in the world. And that's what happens with a lot of the players with the Barracuda, is the talent level is with some players very similar to the National Hockey League, but it's really defending the best players in the world. And we really strive that with players. And a player like Ethan, it's just kind of learning that so that when he comes out, you know, comes up to the Sharks and he's playing against, say, McDavid right away. I still remember poor Jack Thompson, his first shift with the Sharks last year, put him out there as McDavid just like busting down the wing, went down and scored. And it's like, can't help that. But that's how you get that experience, is you have to go through. We try and get them as ready as possible, but that's what you're going to face when you go up the NHL. We want them to succeed when they go up. It's not about how quickly they can go up, but when they go up, that they can stay. Most of them, when they go up, they don't stay and never come back. A few guys do, but it's a back and forth process for most players.
Looking at this Barracuda team, if you look at kind of the philosophy that you guys have taken the last couple of years, you want guys to marinate in the AHL. William Eklund, a great example of that a couple of years ago. Philip Bystedt came in last year. He had 7 points in 8 AHL games. You always wonder how a guy's going to adjust from the bigger rink to the smaller condensed North American ice. And obviously he handled himself quite well. Now it's a difference in that sample size compared to a full season. But as he goes in his first campaign in North America, likely here in the AHL with the Barracuda, what do you want to see from him? What do you hope he accomplishes in year one?
I think with him, it's really an adjustment to North America because of the size of the rink is different. And that's part of the adjustment is mental. Part of it is just taking time over the summer. I had an exit interview with Philip Bystedt, and I said, now you know, you got your taste. You got about 15 games up here. And what did you notice? And he said, it's so fast. I said, well, yeah, it's a lot smaller. So that players get on you quicker. You have more time in Sweden to make plays and everything else. And you don't have that much time. So what are you going to do about that? And well, he has to keep his feet moving. He has to know that they're on him quicker. He has to get a little bit stronger so he can break away. You know, a lot of that with him is going to be again, experience and mileage on the odometer and at, you know, 20 years old, that he's going to have to just play some games to be ready. But he's really not that far off. We saw him at the World Junior Championships last year, and amongst this peer group of players born the same age group in the world, he was one of the best centermen. And so really excited about him. We're going to be patient with him. Just if we see little glimpses, again, we're going to be patient and not try and, you know, over promote and quickly have him come up. He needs to be with Barracuda for a while and learn all parts of the game.
Sometimes for a player, trial by fire is the best approach. And last year, in many respects, your goalie position, you had a rotating group of goalies. And this year, right now, where the roster currently stands, Georgi Romanov and Magnus Kroner, your 1A, 1B. Now, these guys have all the physical tools to play in the National Hockey League. Now, you need one of them to kind of take the reins and become that number one in the AHL. So what do you want to see, at the very least, for these guys over the first month or so? What can they do to kind of set their path to the direction that you guys hope? What can they do to really take advantage of this opportunity?
I think just, this summer, just really sit back and say what worked for them and what didn't. I still remember Troy Grosnick's first year, was a struggle in the organization. It came back the second year and learned a lot from it just by kind of sitting back and what just happened there. I struggled here, and sometimes that struggle's not bad because they learn what works for them and what doesn't. And with both players, they had some ups and downs with Barracuda. They had some ups and downs with the Sharks. And I think both of them, in talking with them, they have a really good mindset to learn from that. They're both, you know, working on their craft and getting physically stronger and everything else. And at the same time, is we need to build some competition around them. We have Gabriel Carrier, who we signed out of University of Vermont. So he's another goaltender that we have, who's also going to be competing with them for a spot. And who knows, with Mike, he's always looking. You know, he's looking at all positions. But, who knows, at some point, too, we may have somebody else coming into the mix for some competition there as well. But for Georgi and Magnus, I expect them to take a jump. from last year.
Well, there's no question, even at the AHL level, NHL level, obviously, but there's a lot of excitement amongst our fans, as I can tell from all you guys, and we appreciate all your support. And again, being late July for you to be out here middle of the day on a Saturday, we can't thank you enough for the support, but we can't wait for the upcoming season. I think there's a lot to be excited about with both teams, and Joe touched on it, just some of these veteran players that are going to be coming into the mix are going to make a huge difference, not just for the success, but the development of these young players as well. We always like to open it up to you guys to ask some questions, so for the next 5 or so minutes, we'll allow for you guys to ask questions if you have them. Don't be shy. Joe is an open book. He'll answer whatever you got. So, yeah, right in front. Say your name and then ask your question.
Hi, this is Julie. When you guys did the retirement of Marlowe's jersey, you did an alumni game the night before. Is there thoughts for this coming year of doing something similar for the Thornton event?
Yeah, I think so. I think when you say an event, I think it's not going to be just the actual banner raising, but I think it'll be a weekend. I think that's in the works. I don't know exactly what it's going to be. I know it was very, very popular when they had that game, so I could see them looking at something like that, but I believe it's in the works now, and I think the alumni that came in too, they absolutely loved it. And you know, it's one thing to see the players that live here and the players we see quite often, but what really is really touching is some of the players that haven't been back for 15, 20 years and they come back and it's very emotional for them to come back because a lot of them had some great moments here and to come back and see this again. So it's not only important for the player being honored, but it really is important for the whole alumni group that they get together and that they get to come back. And, you know, they gave so much to the organization, the community. It's nice when we can do something for them as well.
Joe, on the Barracuda level, with the signings you made in the offseason, what kind of style of play do you think we'll see this year from them?
I think we'll see a lot of skill. Andrew Podorowski, we got him to make the wings better, whoever it is, whether, you know, again, as I say these names, I don't know who's going to end up with the Barracuda full-time, part-time, whatever, but for him with Cardwell, with Bortolo, with Graf, with you know, Sabourin, with Coe, all these wingers to help them and have a quick game, a skilled game. Bestad's going a very skilled player who has some speed to him as well. So I think we'll be speedier, we'll be quicker. Lucas Carlson is a great power play guy, so I expect our power play to be better. But Jimmy Schult we believe he's one of the best defensive defensemen in the year. He was with Coachella, big part of their success. But our intent is to not overcoach the group to, you know, play a slowed down defensive game, but to really just let them be themselves, and as long as they're holding up, doing the right things defensively, be creative, and that's Ryan Warsawski, big part of his philosophy, which will pass all the way down through us.
Hey, I'm Jameson. Thanks for your time today. You know, as you've described, this is kind of a turning point and the buzz is palpable. So I have a kind of a question about, do you have a philosophy or any thoughts on managing realistic expectations when the excitement is arguably the highest that it's been in the past 5 years?
That's a great question. And that's, you know, it's all about building momentum and it takes time. You know, we need to take time, get the right people around here with the talent level, and it doesn't just happen. You have to get the right coaches in place with Ryan Warsawski coming in. You know, there's a change there and kind of overseeing it, and the NHL head coach kind of oversees coaches at all levels and such. And it's to set our standards higher, to keep getting better, not try and place too high of expectations, but to have expectations. And then once we get there to be a playoff team, to hold on to it, you know, and that's the goal right there. So we're not in a race necessarily to get there and skip over any steps, but we're there to get good people, good talent, play the right way, see what happens. The good thing about the American League is there are a few more playoff spots. 7 of the 10 teams in the Pacific Division get in. So that is a goal of ours to do that. Fall short of saying expectations, it's a goal, and I think it's a realistic goal. So that's it, to try and be a playoff team this year. And if we play the right way and such, we saw that last year. I think the cutoff line's about a 550 percentage or so. You know, if we can get about there, I think we'll fight for it. I think with the players that we brought in and the talent, having another year of experience, you know, why not? Why can't that be us to get into the playoffs and then see what happens and then start that momentum?
Awesome, guys. Well, thank you again all for coming. This was great. Thank you, Joe, for your time. Give it up for Joe Will.
Thank you.
Our general manager.
My name is James Collins. I'm the new VP of Business Operations for the CUDA. I'm going to talk a little bit about what we're doing in a moment, but I do want to show you a little teaser video that we put together for you.
For 25 years, the Sharks' top affiliate was Transient, scanning the Mid, South, and Eastern United States from Kansas City to Kentucky, Cleveland to Worcester. In 2015, the Sharks brought their AHL franchise home, renaming and rebranding to the San Jose Barracuda. For seven seasons, the two lived in the same tank, but in 2022, the Barracuda moved into their permanent home, affectionately known as the Reef, aka TechCU Arena. The 2024-25 season marks year 10 in San Jose. After missing out on the Calder Cup playoffs for the last three seasons, the additions of veteran AHL stars like Andrew Podorolski, Lucas Carlson, and Jimmy Schultz, and the return of Justin Bailey, plus the influx of young, talented prospects, has the bite back in the Barracuda, more ferocious and relentless than ever before, ready to take on the league's best and prove once again they are contenders in the West.
So again, I want to thank Joe for coming in. If you didn't know, Joe's been out and about. He's been out of town for a little bit, so he flew in specifically for this. So again, if we can give him a round of applause. So my name is James Collins. I'm the new VP of Business Operations. I'll be running the business side of the CUDA things. Very excited to be here. It's my first event with most of you. We did a group deposit event back in June. We had a great showing on a Thursday. Very excited about that because, again, it's hard to get people to come out in the summer and think about hockey, especially that early. So to have you here on a Saturday in July, we greatly appreciate it. We're very excited about this season. Just to tease you a little bit, these are our, well, it was back there, but the jerseys we put together for the Battery members, again, that'll be your gift this season. Mason, unfortunately, most of you hopefully know him, our sales manager. He's at a wedding today. He's in Texas. He couldn't break away from it, but he is very excited about this gift. He's put a lot of work into it. We think you're going to enjoy it a lot. In addition to that, we're growing the base. We're really excited about what we're doing right now. We're targeting about 7-8 sellouts this year, so we're off to a great start. Opening night, make sure that you share it with your friends. Get them out. It's going to be a sellout. Should be a great night. CUDA Country, big promotion. A lot of things we're doing. CUDA Mania, our wrestling event, is going to be a great promotion this year. We're working on CUDA Classroom is a big one for us, the kids' day game. Again, Pink in the Rink is always great. Teddy Bear Toss. But we're working really hard to make sure that the value of your tickets are there. We're filling the building. This is an unbelievable rink. Like, people have asked me, what brought you here? Number one was the people. It's a great organization, you know, dedicated to making a great experience for our fans. But number two is definitely this rink. I mean, it's a beautiful rink. Again, it's got massive potential. There's so much great things here. So we appreciate you coming out today. You'll hear a lot from me coming up. I'm going to email you with a lot more than you want. But my contact information is there. If you ever want to sit down and have a conversation about what we're doing on the business side of things, how we're going to fill the building, how we can improve your experience, whatever it might be, I want to make sure that you know that there's an open door. If you want to come in and chat, please, our offices are beautiful. They're right here. Most of you probably popped in as you were moving your seats today. But I just wanted to say again, thank you so much for coming out on a Saturday. We appreciate it. I'm here if you want to talk on the side, but have a great weekend and go CUDA.
A big thank you to Barracuda General Manager Joe Wilk, our outstanding fans, and President James Collins. That does it for this edition of CUDA Confidential. I'm Nick Nolenberg, saying thanks for listening, and so long until next time.